Shasa Rebbeim. I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing here, but I'm giving some type of vod. And I figured, you know, I enjoyed very much when Tom in Miami, the vod I'm here. And I figured, as an outsider, maybe I could try to give a vod and trying to appreciate the yeshiva. Maybe talk about some things that maybe some of the Rebbeim here wouldn't be able to talk about themselves. But as a Talmud, I think I have a good means of talking about them. To put in perspective, where are we up to in this month? Wherever you are, whether you're in Brooklyn, Queens, Miami, the end of this month is coming near. And Pesach Ben Azmanim, I think, is unique amongst all Ben Azmanim. It's a break a lot of people look forward to. It's after a long, especially this year, two Adars, a long Zman. And I think it's a type of Ben Azmanim when you come in contact with a lot of your chaverim who might be in different yeshivas, different locations, different places. And I think after, you know, three quarters of the year, it's a good time in the year for a guy to look back and see, hey, really, what did I accomplish? What am I doing? How matzliach am I being? What, you know, what's it all about? It's a good time of year to analyze yourself, and I think it somewhat comes naturally. You see other guys come back, and you measure things. You look at him, oh, he came back from Eretz Yisrael, and he's shuckling away, or this guy was here and there. So I think at the same time, it's important to appreciate, you know, really the essence of being in yeshiva and what yeshiva is about. I'd like to share with you a fascinating Oretz Safon, which I do have this chus, I did have this chus, that I heard years ago from Rabbi Luban saying an over b'shem, Ramir Chalash. I'll tell you his example he gave. But you should look this up. Quite an amazing Oretz Safon. I have me to making copies, but the Oretz Safon talks about a chait the Bnei Yisrael had in the Midbar. Famous pasuk you have, Ahibin Soha Aron, where the Torah goes and singles it out, talks about Peronius, it has upside down Nun, Parsha over there. And Chazal have a tain on the Bnei Yisrael that they were accused of being Kitino Kabarech Mibes HaSefer. Like children run away from yeshiva. I guess also apropos for the end of Azman. And the altar in Chilak Gimel, the Oretz Safon, analyzes what exactly is the tain of the Bnei Yisrael. They were running away from Har Sinai, Ketina Kabarech Mibes HaSefer. The altar asks, we know everything the Bnei Yisrael traveled was Api Hashem, Yachanu Api Hashem Yisrael. The fact that they moved on from Har Sinai was divinely decreed. The Anan moved, they moved. So they're just following orders. And in what way do you find the Taina, something wrong with the Bnei Yisrael, that they moved, that they left Ketina Chabarech Mibes HaSefer, just following the marching orders? The altar goes on to explain an idea which comes up quite a bit in different pieces of the altar, that sometimes a person could do an action which the action itself is the right action to do, but the feelings you put into that action might be the wrong feelings, might be feelings which are lacking certain emotions you should have. And similar to the idea the altar has, famous thing with Dina in the box, might have been the right thing for Yaakov Avinu to do to deny Esau for marrying Dina, but he's knocking those nails in that box. He should have felt a little bad, more bad than he felt. So similarly over here, the Bnei Yisrael are leaving Har Sinai, and they're supposed to leave Har Sinai. But the means and how they left was a pain in them. They felt bad to some degree, missing it, but it wasn't the full hargasha. And for that, there's a pain. I remember the way Rabbi Luban said it over from Ramir Chadosh years ago, was that, you know, when you buy a monumental place, you had a monumental event, you come back with a souvenir, a t-shirt, one of those snow things. People in New York, snow, right? I was there. Just to come back without anything, you know, shows you didn't fully appreciate what it was, didn't appreciate leaving there. And that's the point of the altar, which I always heard. Quite a beautiful idea. It hit me not too long ago. Another deher from this same Chazal. The lashon that Chazal depict in the Taina on the Bnei Yisrael is Ketina Kabarech mi Beis HaSefer. Now, where was Bnei Yisrael leaving that they had this Taina? It was Maimon Har Sinai. So you want to tell me they had this monumental event of getting the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing them, fireworks, everything. You see an event like that, you don't forget it. It's amazing. But it seems that's not where the time lies in Bnei Yisrael for packing out, for just walking away from Har Sinai. It wasn't they should appreciate more the spectacle of what Har Sinai was. It's Ketinach HaBarech Mi Beis HaSefer. There was a second aspect of Maimon Har Sinai besides the Emunah and the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was exposed to them. It was the fact they learned Torah. They were Mekabel the Torah. That's the time of Bnei Yisrael. They were Ketinach HaBarech Mi Beis HaSefer. The time on them was, you're leaving Beis HaSefer, leaving a yeshiva. How could you just walk away? I think if to hear that perspective is quite amazing. Maimon Har Sinai, I would think, is the biggest thing of all time. But in a certain sense, it takes a backseat to yeshiva. You know what yeshiva is? You know what a Beis HaSefer, a Beis Medrash could accomplish? To just walk away? To just experience it? You appreciate it. Yeah. Said your goodbyes. Move on to Ben Azmanim. But you have to appreciate what it is. It's a Beis HaSefer. Ketina Kabarech mi Beis HaSefer. Maimon Har Sinai takes us back seat to what yeshiva is. I must tell you, hafachba dekuvaba. I was sitting on the plane, and I was chazering over the shmooze. And I, the herod, I don't think I was machadash anything. If you look at the beautiful lashon written in the actual Safo, he writes, "Avachaytzarech lios kashalem lifrosh mi mitzvahs Talmud Torah, shikinegad kulam shekol peres menu kaporesh menachayim." The altar himself pointed out this point. It wasn't just the Maimon Har Sinai; it was the fact of leaving Makom Torah, Tina Chumrech mi Beis HaSefer. I think that's a fascinating perspective to see what yeshiva is. Appreciate yeshiva is such, you know, we would say, yeah, if I saw Maimon Har Sinai, boy, would I be a different person. Well, you know what? You might be in a place which has more firepower than Maimon Har Sinai. The Limud HaTorah, the potential that a person could gain for being in yeshiva, it's off the charts. It's amazing. Now, I guess I'd like to go through a few aspects. You know, we'll talk about a yeshiva. What is a yeshiva? A yeshiva has a certain structure which makes it what it is. You know, one aspect of yeshiva, probably the main aspect, certain degree of yeshiva, is the Seder. Yeshiva has Sedarim. It has structure. And a structure, Seder, produces a Hechruch. The fact that you have Baruch Hashem, group of Talmidim, seeing and learning, Chaverim, Chavrusas, Seder, that's a Hechrich, okay, you have to do, you have to produce. You have to go with the flow. And that's a tremendous Hechrich to get a person to accomplish. What's the biggest thing you're missing, Ben Azmanim, is the Seder, the Hechrich. That's why it's always so important, you know, you go into Ben Azmanim, what's your plan? It's all free. It's all open. The way a person succeeds and makes sure he has opportunities to learn and accomplish is by setting up hechrechim, setting up chavrusas, setting up some system. That's what a person is totally lacking when he's not in yeshiva. There's no seder. There's nothing pushing me. I have to be at seder. I have to learn. And really, if a person appreciates what that aspect of seder, what it really is, it's also, you know, during the Zman itself, gives them an added push. You know, Time to get up. Time to get out of bed. Time to get there to Seder on time. What you do affects other people. Be a chaver tov. Just by you being there affects other people. Shiva would always quote over. There's a Marshan Shabbos, which talks about the idea that when someone makes a siyum, really, everybody in the base medrash has a chiluk in it. And the reason the Rishi was explaining that marsha was because without other people in the base medrash, that person who's Messiah wouldn't have the same push to do it. Everyone has a chiluk. Everyone's a part of it. There's a seder of the yeshiva, and every bachur in yeshiva makes a difference in the effects of that seder. That's an important thing. So, on the one hand, there's an aspect of yeshiva, which is the seder, which is the chaverim, the structure, the hechrach. That's one aspect. But there's another aspect which is important. That the seder and the chevra and the hechrachim are there to help the individual grow. But at the same time, it can't be a monea on an individual's growth. I'll give you a mashal. You know, let's say guys are, you know, working on a share, working on a shmuz. So the fact that other people are working on it is a hachrach. Great. They're working on it. You know what? I should work on it too. But sometimes it could be a monea. Let's say you find yourself working on it and, you know, got to the point, no one else is working on it anymore. You finish with purple share. Everyone fell out of the sugya. There's an important aspect in yeshiva, which sometimes is overlooked. The importance of an individual and his own drives, his own goals, and although the yeshiva itself is a structure and a seder to help a person grow, but it shouldn't limit a person. Of course, a person has to continue to grow and utilize his potential as much as he can. And it's always a very delicate balance, you know, how much should I push myself? How much could I do? So, okay, if a person tries different things, he's Shol Eitzel with his Rebbeim, it's very important. But not to be held back and just, you know, just to go with the flow and just to go with what's around you could also be a limitation on the person. And I recently came across a fascinating line I found in the Sefer Ori Cheskel. Levenstein quotes the line, never heard this before. I'm not even sure about Lube, I never heard this before. But well, one reason is I never heard it from him. But in the Chelek in Midos, I'm sorry, I didn't put down what page it is. But I just, it was Siyad Hashmai, just flipping around, I just happened to come across this. He writes the following. V'zachrani sheshamati me'achavetz chayim. Chaskel says, I remember hearing from the Chavetz Chayim. She's migadlas or going to Rekiv Eger. Chavetz Chayim was blown away. The gals of Rekiv Eger. Chavetz Chayim never met Rekiv Eger. But you open Rekiv Eger's svarim, you see absolute godless. Tzarechian, Tzarechian Godel, Rabbi Kiva Eger, mind-boggling. You work on Rabbi Kiva Eger. So the Chafetz Chaim, with all his godless, he was blown away by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay? And the next line blew me away. Now, I don't know how the Chafetz Chaim knew this, but the Chafetz Chaim is about to touch up. What is the reason Rabbi Kiva Eger achieved his greatness? You got to be the Chafetz Chaim to say such a thing. Never heard this one before. How did Rabbi Kiva Eger achieve his greatness? Zakta Chafetz Chaim, v'amar she'egia lezos, ki hayu b'tkufa she'nato chelakulam. Quotes this famous Mishnah in Avos, that there are different people that go beyond what other people around them are doing. Talks about Avram Avinu going beyond his generation, and the Mishnah Avos says he takes the schar for 10 generations. When you do something, when you persevere in a situation when other people aren't, that's a tremendous schus which grants a person siyat d'shmaya to go above and beyond anyone else. Seems the Chafetz Chaim was teaching up Rabbi Kiva Eger. Really, his godless was off the charts. The Chafetz Chaim could not believe a person who lived not too long before him reached such madrigas, it did not make sense. And the only way to touch up, or what he understood in the Sefer, I don't know where it was, how Rabbi Akiva Eiger achieved such things, he was natal schar kulam. He worked on himself, whatever the nisyonos was in his generation, but he persevered beyond everyone else. And you know what? He achieved great things. That's definitely an important point for any yeshiva bacher. There's no storage of nisyonos and setbacks and challenges that everyone faces in the generation. And for a person to persevere and to succeed in his challenges, and not just be satisfied, you know what? Everyone else is doing it. Okay, look. Person has to try, accomplish. But look at the Siyat HaShemaya that makes a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, according to the Chafetz Chaim. He was not a Schar Kulam. He did something no one else was doing. That set him on a quantum leap beyond anyone else. So those two, I think, are a balance. On the one hand, to appreciate what yeshiva is, take yeshiva and its sedarim for everything that it is, the hechrach that it lends. But at the same time, not to be limited by that. Don't just go with the flow. Try to utilize your potential to the fullest. And when a person pushes even beyond what other people are doing, that grants a person tremendous yat deshmaya that he could go above and beyond. Another important aspect of the yeshiva, my list is all inclusive, but I think this is a very important aspect of the yeshiva, of a person feeling uncomfortable. He's comfortable where he is. And that aspect helps a person in immeasurable ways. There's a sforno in Parshas Vayigash, which talks about Yosef when Paro found out that Yosef's brothers were coming to town. Paro is very happy. Why was he happy? He says, because now Yosef is going to work very hard because his family's in town. He feels comfortable over here. That pushes a person to work harder. Really? Yosef was giving leiv nefesh to Mitzrayim. A novim v'chachem kamohu. I think my son is up to these parshas now. Chumash. Not a bakori. A novim v'chachem kamohu. Wow. Amazing person. Giving his all for the team. Power recognize you could achieve even more. The more comfortable a person is in the environment, the harder he works, the more he produces. It's not only true for working in Mitzrayim, it's true for yeshiva. If you're in an environment which Baruch Hashem, you're comfortable, you're at peace, you're at home, that allows a person to work harder and, as Hashem, achieve more. So those are three aspects of the yeshiva which all important. Probably, we would say the most important aspect of the yeshiva are the rabbeim. And to get a kesher with the Rebbe, to learn from a Rebbe, getting a kesher with the Rebbe, my father or my grandmother always says over, doesn't just mean you sit there and you tell jokes and you schmooze with the Rebbe, which is all important and it's part of a connection. But kesher with the Rebbe is I appreciate the Rebbe's Torah. I learn from the Rebbe. I gain from the Rebbe. That's first and foremost the connection, the shaychus you have. And I think I do have a unique perspective. I had the schuss of branching in Miami 14 years ago, 15 years ago. I was here, Rabbi Grumblatz, last year from Hanukkah to Pesach in Ibrior. And then the following year, I worked out some cool detail of Queens. I had Blotcher credit, and I was here from Elul to Hanukkah. It's a pretty significant tikufa. And I remember I got pretty good kesharim with all my rebbeim, and I gained a lot. I'll spend a few minutes, niksa shvacha b'fanav, talking about some of the rebbeim over here. I'll start from Rabbi Sharfman. Rabbi Sharfman, I was zocha to know. Even though I grew up in Brooklyn, but I had the schuss of going to Masifta in Queens. And my ninth grade Rebbe for Bekias, my first year, was this tall kolo guy who struck fear in my heart if I tried to make any trouble. I was a little ninth grader back then. It was Rabbi Sharfman. And I had a shaychus pretty good shaychus, Rabbi Sharfman, back then in the Sifta. And when they came to recruit me in Queens, to come branch in Miami, the funny thing, Grandma called me one year, come and branch, like, you know, the first time I heard of Grandma, oh yeah, that was Rabbi Luban's Chavrusa. Yeah. Right? First time, it's actually pretty ironic. But he called me up. That was my first year in Queens. Actually, it's pretty cool. The older cover of guys who wanted to go branching. It was Rabbi Schloss, Rabbi Goldberger from Staten Island. And they wanted me to come in the group. It was my first year in Queens. And officially, there was a rule. First-year guys don't go branching. It was after Pesach. And I went to Rabbi Harris. I wasn't so interested. I came, you know, learned that I said, so before I say, well, I'm going to go branching. I said, I'll go to Miami. And I remember speaking to Rabbi Harris about it. I said, Rebbe, you know, I just came here in Elul. It's Pesach time. Shouldn't I be staying here to get a kasher with you? I should be going to Rabbi Grumblot. He agreed with me. Yeah, you should stay here. You're right, Katina. I stayed. The following year, they drafted me. So they were saying, Rabbi Sharfman really needs guys to come and branch. Fine. So I came here, got a kasher with Rabbi Grumblot. But Rabbi Sharfman, I think, is a tremendous person who has an amazing balance. On the one hand, he's someone who's tremendous Talmud Chacham, very, very serious, very devoted, but at the same time has a balance. He really knows how to relate to people and to interact with people. And I remember my years in Miami, all types of guys going this way, that way, and everywhere in between. Sharfman was able to relate. And you know, that's a tremendous thing probably a quintessential thing for a first-year Rebbe, to be able to relate and to see an example of somebody who has a very good balance, serious, but, you know, he understands people. It's a relaxed, easygoing way with him. Rabbi Neumann, I had this chus when I was here. I reminded him about it today. I used to have a Seder in Ksos. And one thing is phenomenal. I'm seeing Rabbi Neumann, tremendous, tremendous yashrus. Really balancing and understanding and knowing exactly how to do things. Real tremendous pichas. I remember there was a case, I'm not going to give you the full details, but Rabbi Neumann saw something that he felt was roi to give a bachur to chacha on. But you know what he decided to do? He decided the best way to give this bachur to chacha, talk to him about it, is to wait 4 months. He mamish waited 4 months. 4 months later, he says, oh, do you remember this? And the guy had no clue what. He barely remembered. Oh, by the way, you know what? I think you should do it this way. When you don't remember what you did wrong, it's quite easy to accept. Yashrus. Understanding how to do things. Tremendous. And this is only mixas, but another thing to talk about, Luban, I had the schuss of, before I went to Miami, I had the schuss of having him as a Rebbe in those days, it was called Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim. Maybe it was because Rebbe Luban was there. And I'm not sure if it's a mitzvah to say Yerushalayim over in Jerusalem or in CCJ, but I remember when I was learning here in Miami, rumors were much less sophisticated in those days. I was sitting and learning, and Rabbi Grumblot said, oh, he has to go away for a couple of days. And lo and behold, Rabbi Luban is coming to Miami. I think I not only consider myself a naive guy, but I said, wow, look at that coincidence. I am so lucky. I'm branching in Miami. And wow, of all people, I hadn't seen him for years, you know, since I left Eretz Yisrael. But Luban's coming. And I remember he came, he gave a shir in Nachlas David, Kasha's on the Shach in Meitav, I think, in Baba Kama. And I was like, wow, I'm so lucky. I just happened to come here. Well, later in the year, you know, it did come out. I remember when the first high school guys came to me. Did you hear the rumors that Rabbi, the way they said it then, was Rabbi Grumblot's going to Queens, Rabbi Luban's coming to Miami, and they said someone else is going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm like, wow, what else did you hear on WFN? Yeah, what are the blockbuster deals are there? But, you know, some rumors are true. But, one thing which I think everyone should appreciate, and definitely go on, but is the aspect of clarity, of having everything you say, whether it's a shmooze, whether it's a vad, I don't know if he still gives, I'll find out tomorrow morning, something after shachris, yeah? Okay, good. But everything's done with such clarity and such precision. So it's amazing. I remember one of my chaverim, maybe he remembers, Shlomo Kravitz, Sean Kravitz. Remember he asked Luban a question, you know, how should I gain from share? How do I go about it? Remember he gave such a simple but clear perspective. You know what you do? Anytime you read a Mara Makom, you have to have clear. How did you read the Mara Makom? And what exactly is the point that your Rebbe is coming to add? Very, very poshut, critical hashkafa. But I think many people probably miss it because they just lack clarity. That's what clarity is all about, to see the difference. This is where I am. This is the way I see it. This is the way they see it. Different. What's that difference all about? The greater clarity a person gets, the more he feels accomplished, the more the learning hits him, becomes part of him, and you walk away, wow, I'm accomplished, I'm a great person. So, I think there's tremendous things that, you know, I figured I'll talk about a vav, which no one else will talk about. It's hard to talk about yourself. So, maybe that's why they brought me in here. But, the idea to really appreciate what a yeshiva is, in general, but specifically what goes on over here, is quite an amazing thing. I'll end with a nice Yerushalmi story. I remember one year in Rosh Hashanah, I was eating in those days in Yerushalayim, we used to call them Shasyid. Come on, you know who Shasyid is? There's this Yerushalmi guy back in the day. He used to learn in Chavetz Chaim's Beis Medrash at night. They used to call him Shasyid. He used to learn, stand by the bima, shake back and forth with his long Yerushalmi pais. I think he lived in the same building as Rabbi Chait. But I remember one time, me and a friend, we went to him for Rosh Hashanah. This man, the nice Yerushalmi, did not speak a blasted word of English. And I also do remember the kompot they served. I say served, not that I ate. And I do remember one aspect of the meal. He quoted to me, we were learning Maseches Ketubos, and he quoted to me a Tosas, I think it's Samach Gimel, Amud Aleph, on top over there. Famous Tosas. The Gemara over there talks about Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, we know his father-in-law, Kalba Savua, didn't like his amaratus and made another not to give him any money. And we know the famous story, Akiva went to yeshiva, plugged away. Maybe he was also nota schar kulam like another Akiva generations later. And Rabbi Akiva comes back, huge talmud chacham, and Kalba Savua comes to him with a shaila, hey, I have a son-in-law that I heard is singing and learning well. You know, what do I do about this neder I made about him? And Akiva asked him if he knew he'd be a big talmud chacham, would he make such a neder? And he said, no. He said, fine. In that case, neder's off. And Tosa has a kasha, if anyone here didn't darm, but there's a din that we're not that you could have a Pesach for a neder, but it can't be something which is nola, something which is new. So Tosas is bothered by, hey, how did Rabbi Kiva let Kalba Savua out of this nether, even though it's nogea him? But how did he let him out of this nether? It's nolad. When he made the nether, he was Amaretz. Elamai. He became a Talmud Chacham. That's a new thing. Nolad is not a heter to get out of a nether. So emphatosis, that's not called nolad. Shederichu, it's the norm. When someone goes to yeshiva, he's going to be nasa adam gadol. And just the posh of shan and tosas is tremendous chiddush. It's nothing new. If a guy goes to yeshiva and walks out an adam gadol, it's nothing new. It's part and parcel of what you checked in on day one. It goes back to the first chazal we quoted. You really appreciate what a yeshiva is? Yeshiva has such potential. The guy's learning in yeshiva. He has such potential. It could be Nas Adam Gadol. You have a kasha, how come so many people in Nas Adam Gadol? Could be along the way. They didn't utilize that power to the fullest. But be'etzim, it's there. It's nothing new. It's not nolad. The power of a makom Torah, of yeshiva, ketinak abarech mi beis ha-sefer. You could be on Maimon Har Sinai. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu pel peh. Amazing experience. But you know what? That pales in comparison that Maimon Har Sinai was a makom Torah you learn Torah from. And that's a place you just can't just walk away ben azmanim without appreciating what it's really about. I hope, Be'ez Hashem, myself included, you should appreciate Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. David HaMelech is Mispal Acha Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem Osa Vakesh. Shifti B'ez Hashem. Kol Me'chaya. Not everybody gets a chance to sit in yeshiva his whole life, but to have yeshiva make a part of him. To have his years in yeshiva, to really make an impact, to really be there. Special thing. Just end with one thing. I remember I always, one of the people I had the schuss to meet, close connection with when I was in Eretz Yisrael, was Nelson Tzvi Finkelzatzal. I remember one of the things he always would say over, is people would come back to him years later, say the greatest years of my life were the years I spent in yeshiva. As Hashem, I wish it all on you one day that you look back on your years in Miami and really appreciate your time in yeshiva and utilize it to the fullest. And as Hashem, it shall all be good.